Well, how's everybody doing? Excited about this upcoming year? You've made your resolutions, and or maybe not. Maybe you don't want to. I don't know. How many want to have an amazing 2016? Anybody? Raise your hand. Well, I think I've got a way that I can guarantee that for you. How's that sound? Sound like a good plan? And it's really so easy that it would be easy to miss it. And if you have your Bibles, turn to John 3:16. Probably one of the most quoted and famous verses in the Bible is John 3:16. But it's so good, we'll just keep on quoting it and sharing it. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." How many know the Bible says that God is love? Everybody say that. God is love. God is a giver. And giving is a... Well, you can say that too. You can, just everything I say, just say it. Giving is a byproduct of love. Byproduct is something when you make something and something else is produced from that. Well, giving is a byproduct of love. Giving is at the heart of love. Giving is at the heart of God. Giving is love demonstrated. So it says, "So for God so loved the world that He gave." Aren't you glad it just wasn't just mere words? I love you. I care for you. I mean, how many people have said things to us but didn't back it up with action? He backed it up. He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And so our covenant with God is a love covenant. And so one of the primary things we can do in 2016, and this is going to be a key for you, is to believe in the love of God. To believe in His love. And if you could do that every day, to meditate on, confess, study, read about, think about, believe His love, His great love for us. Think about the gospel. Think about what Jesus has done. I mean, that will change you. That will transform you. And what you do is you fill yourself up so much with God's love until it overflows. And how you see God impacts the way you live your life and it impacts you in such a great way. If you see God as a loving and caring Father, it will transform you. It will change you. You want to be changed in 2016? Meditate and think about God's love. It says it's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. Now, we use the word repentance when we've missed it and we've made a mistake and we're going to repent, right? But repent just means to turn around and go the other way. But it's change. Repent, to repent is to be transformed. To repent is to change your mind. So it says, His goodness, God's goodness leads to repentance, causes repentance, causes you to change your mind and to change your ways. So as we're starting off this year, I don't know what happened in 2016. I mean, it may have been your best year. And if it should have been your best year, how about we just keep it going? But I know I have talked to some people, they were kind of happy that 2015 is over. And that may be you. You may be like, thank God, good riddance. You ever had, and if that wasn't your year last year, you probably had one of those years. Now, God doesn't operate in years and days. This is all man's deal. But I'm kind of glad that we have a January 1st. And you can wipe the slate clean. But as we're looking forward to 2016, how can we make this a great year? How can we make this an amazing year? Well, so the first thing I'm saying is, think about God. Meditate on God. Think about the goodness of God. And if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that would be a great way to start off this year. It says in Romans 10 that, if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess Him as Lord, you'll be saved. That's a good way to start off your year. To be saved. To be in God's family. To know that you're going to heaven when you die. All right, so meditate on God's love. Now let's look over at John 10:10. John 10:10, one of our favorite verses here. And this is from the Amplified Version. It says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came," who's saying this? "I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance till the full, till it overflows." As we're starting off this year, you need to be reminded that God is a good God. You need to be reminded that the devil is a bad devil. And the devil is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. Bad things are happening. It's the enemy. Good things coming your way from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Don't get them mixed up. Don't think that God is doing you harm. God's not trying to take your life, take your family, take your finances, take your health. He's not the one trying to do that. That's the enemy. My thing's beeping here? Yeah, I've got messages coming. Hey. And got to remember that, because it's so easy just to kind of let things slide. Let things in. Let things happen. And, well, that's okay. That's not a big deal. I mean, and not to resist it. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. And so we don't want to be accepting what the enemy's bringing our way. But how do we know if we're not walking in the abundant life? How do you know we know about the abundant life. Who wants the abundant life? How do you know when you're not walking in the abundant life? Well, this verse tells us here. It says, "I have come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." See, the abundant life is not just about us having good things. The abundant life is not about us just being blessed. It's not about you just having stuff and having your needs met. All of that is, it's all part of our inheritance. He says, He'll supply all of our needs. Delight thyself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. So He wants to meet your needs, your wants, your desires. But what's it all for? What's it all for? What's all the blessings for? And so I would say to you that joy comes when you are filled with the love and the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, until it overflows. And I would say to you that joy comes when we give it away. So if you're here today and your joy level seems low, well, then I would ask you to look at your giving. I'm not just talking financially here. But how's the output? Because it's so easy in this world, and just the things that were around is to get selfish. And you start getting focused on stuff. And you start focusing on having things. And you start getting focused on me. And you start getting focused on this is about me. And see, it's just so subtle, but it can easily happen to believers. What does it say in Mark 4, verse 19? We've talked about that. Remember the parable of the sower? And Jesus is talking about the word being sown on different hearts. And he's talking about, in Mark 4, verse 19, he's talking about things that get us off track. Cares of the world. Worry. Cares of this world. Cares of this life. Lust for other things. Deceitfulness of riches. And the Amplified says, it comes in, it creeps in and chokes the word. So it stops the word from working. It stops the word from being fruitful. And the word is meant to produce in our lives. So the thief is trying to, you know, do whatever he can to get you off track. And he is trying to take your joy. Because joy is an amazing thing. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is a force. Joy is a power. Joy is something that, I mean, it doesn't matter about circumstances. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Because you know you and Jesus, you're going to overcome. You and Jesus are going to have victory. You're going to come through this. So I might as well go ahead and celebrate my victory right now. I might as well walk in the joy right now. Because I know harvest is coming. I know my miracle is coming. But what is life really all about? Is it about having stuff? Want you to have a nice house and car and clothes. I mean, I don't want you sitting in your naked today. I want you to have food on your table. Aren't you glad that we're not naked today? I don't care who you are. It ain't pretty. But for God so loved the world that He gave. And we're talking about 2016. And if we want to have an amazing year, you want to have joy. Isn't that what we all want to have? Walk in joy? Because there's going to be good and bad things happen this year to every one of us. And if it doesn't happen to you, it's going to happen to people around you. And one of the things we need is joy. We need God's joy. And so as we're looking at it this year, and if you've fallen into the trap, if you've fallen into Mark 4, verse 19, if you've been just become stagnant, if you've become unfruitful, if you're kind of withholding, you're kind of just drawn back, I say this is the day just to shake you up. And get out of that, because this is the way of the world. The way of the world is selfishness. The way of the world, it's about me. But that's not God's way. God's way, if that was His way, He never would have sent Jesus. It's not about me. It's about them. It's about others. I want you walking in overflow. You know, we have a covenant of blessing. It's a covenant of love. So let's go back and look at, you know, quickly the original covenant with Abraham. You got your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It says, "Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself for your own advantage away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation." How's that sound? Pretty good. I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great nation. I like that. I'm going to make you a great nation. That's not us doing that. He does that. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. How many like that? I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. Anybody want some of that? I mean, that just sounds good. Abundant increase of favors. Just turn to your neighbor and say, "I just speak to you an abundant increase of favor on you." I like that. "And make your name famous and distinguished." All this is good. But look at where he's going. "And you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others." I like that. So all the blessing, all the favor, all the increase, all the making, you know, great nation, famous name, all of this has a purpose to it, so that we can be a blessing, so we can dispense the good to others. "And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, curse him who curses or uses insolent language towards you. And in you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves." Dispensing good to others. So we want to have a good 2016? Meditate on God's goodness. Meditate on His love. Meditate on this covenant of love. Meditate on our inheritance. We're going to heaven when we die. I mean, that's a good place to start. But we're in God's family. We're His son and daughter. We've been given authority. We've been given provision. We're now in Christ. We have peace. We have joy. We've been made holy. We've been made blameless. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on now. We have right standing with God. We can stand in God's presence, you know, and like we belong there. We are favored. It's His goodness that leads to change. But remember what it's all about. In 2016, remember what it is all about. It is all about being a blessing to others. Whatever happens this year, goals and dreams and trips and all the different things, it's all about being a blessing to others. Because if you lose the focus and if you lose the purpose, you're not going to have joy. This is not about me. We talk about church that way. This is not about me. This is about others. And let's just carry this over into the New Testament. Let's look at Acts 10:38. What I'm talking about today is who this church is. If you're a part of Good News Church, this is who you are. This is who we are. This is who we're going to be in 2016. Done a good job in 2015, but we're going to get better. Acts 10:38. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, what I love to do is, I love to take scriptures and put my name in there. And I like to do this, how God anointed Matt Judd of St. Paul, Minnesota, with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good. I'm in Christ. That same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus is on me. Bible says in John 14, greater works than these you shall do. We imitate the Master. We live like Him. We're His followers. Jesus wants us to outdo Him. But this word good here, He went about doing good. This word good means to do good, of course, confer benefits. What did I read in Genesis? Dispense benefits. Benefactor. What's a benefactor? A benefactor is a person who gives money or help to another person or a cause. Jesus went about being a benefactor. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. God was with him. He went about doing good. He went about healing people. The people he encountered, he blessed. He gave life. He was a blessing. And that's who we are. We're benefactors. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a benefactor. I'm a benefactor. I dispense goodness. I just bring cheer and joy and happiness. I just bring life wherever I go. I just act like Jesus wherever I go. Because that's just how I roll. That's what I do. That's who I am. I'm a benefactor. Say that. I'm a benefactor. You can say it. You can speak it and say it right. Say, I go about doing good. I do good. Who wants to have joy in 2016? Who wants to have an amazing year? And see, you just get so wrapped up in this, it's going to take you to other places. It may take you to Japan. It may take you to, you know, just get wrapped up in doing good. And it's going to take you places. And what do? When you get there? You just do good. It's not complicated. So now, in light of all that, let me read this from 2 Corinthians 9. Because 2 Corinthians 9 is who we are. It's what this church is about. Let me read to you from the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this. Remember, everybody. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone. That's what sowing is. That blessings may come to someone. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm blessed by God. He gives me good things so that I can share those good things with others. And when you do that, God is obligated to pour more in. And it's just a vicious cycle. And it's the kind of cycle I want to be in. I mean, not that I'm in any kind of competition with God, but I mean, you're working with Him, and you're sowing, and you're blessing people. I mean, He is looking at you, and He's saying, how can I get the resources into their hands? This is someone I can trust. Because they've got my heart. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully under compulsion. For God loves, He takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in His giving. See, all of this that I'm talking about right now is about sowing. It's about the sower. Now, the same thing in this next verse.
And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. This is talking to the sower. This is talking to the giver. This is talking to the person that blesses people. This is talking to the benefactor. This is talking to the person that goes about doing good. So that you may always and under all circumstances, in whatever the need, be self-sufficient. And look at what self-sufficient means. Possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. It's talking about the sower. As it is written, he, the benevolent person. Who's the benevolent person? Benevolent person is someone that's so saturated with God's love and filled up with God's love until it overflows. He, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in act of goodness, kindness, and charity. Thus, and here we go, thus you'll be enriched in all things and in every way so that you can be generous. And your generosity, as it is administrated by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. I'm telling you, this is counter the way of the world. This is counter the way the world operates. This is counter the marketing that's bombarding us here in this country. Because all the marketing is about us being in lack. All the marketing is about us not having enough. So we feel lack. And if we feel we go out and purchase things, that will make us happy. But we go out and purchase these things, they don't make us happy. So then we think we need to purchase bigger things, that will make us happy. But that doesn't make us happy. That doesn't bring joy, because stuff doesn't bring joy. So the whole marketing thing is ungodly. Ultimately. To make you feel like you don't have enough. And so that's why when you go Christmas shopping and you walk around, where's the joy? Why aren't we all, like we're all in the stores, why aren't people just, we have to do all we can to pump it up, but why aren't we just like laughing hysterically, rolling on the floor as we're buying stuff? Say amen or oh me or something out there. the heart of 2 Corinthians 9 is generosity in us being generous. And that's the heart of God. And God loves a generous person because it's like Him. So I would say, I can guarantee you an amazing 2016 if you'll just listen to what I'm saying today. If you step out of the it's about me and start thinking about it's about others, it's going to change your life. If you start thinking when you wake up in the morning, how can I be a blessing today? That's going to change your day. How can I be generous today? And again, I'm not just talking about money. There's a great story. We'll go ahead and let's read it real fast. John 6, verse 1. You're all familiar with this. John 6, verse 1. After this, Jesus went to the farther side of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd was following him because they had seen the signs and miracles which he had continually performed upon those who were sick. And Jesus walked up the mountainside and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was approaching. Jesus looked up then, and seeing that a vast multitude was coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that all these people may eat?" But he said this to prove, to test him, for he well knew what he was about to do. Philip answered him, 200 pennies, $40 worth of bread is not enough that everyone may receive even a little." Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a little boy here who has with him 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make all these people recline, sit down." And now the ground, a pasture, was covered with thick grass at that spot. So the men threw themselves down, about 5,000 in number. So 5,000 men. How many women and children? I don't know, maybe 20,000 total. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to the reclining people, and also he did with the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had all had enough, he said to his disciples, "Gather up now the fragments, the broken pieces that are left over, so that nothing may be lost and wasted." So accordingly, they gathered them up, and they filled 12 small hand baskets with fragments left over by those who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Here's the, we should focus on the miracle of the multiplying of the loaves. No doubt. What an amazing miracle. But I want to focus on the kid. I want to focus on the boy in this story. Here he's one of the only ones that are prepared for some kind of situation. He's got food with him. And they get in this situation where the people are hungry. And how many know when people are hungry, that can get pretty ugly. And so it's a dangerous, desperate situation. And you have this boy that has provisions. Couldn't he have easily said, "I'm not giving this to anybody. This is mine"? Wouldn't that be normal for a 12-year-old boy to say, "This is mine. I don't want to share. I'm going to go run over here, get my food." And so he's just going about his day. It's really, you know, just another day. And he just made provision. But I love how in this day, his life, he chose to take what he had. It may not have seemed much. It was a small lunch or even a snack. Really insignificant. And he chose to give it to Jesus. He chose to be a blessing. He chose that it wasn't going to be just about him. And God took that seed, that small seed, and fed 20,000 people. And then there was leftovers. And I don't know if the leftovers went to the boy, but don't you think that was kind of an impression on him? We've got 12 baskets left over from this little offering. See, this is how God works. This is 2 Corinthians 9 in manifestation. And so today, what are your loaves and what's your barley and fish? What do you have to give today? What do you have to offer people today? I know some of you here are going through some rough times. Some of you had a really rough year. But how is this going to change? How are we going to break the cycle of what happened in 2015? It's going to change by you taking, you know, not just dreaming about doing something one day, but it's going to change by you taking what you have in your hand and taking it as a seed and offering it to God. And let Him take it and let Him multiply it to you. And I'm telling you, the minute you start to do that, the minute you change your thinking, your attitude, your way, joy will come. If they just go hand in hand, joy will come. And then more comes in, and you take then of what you have and take that and offer that to God. And He just multiplies. And then, if you just keep doing that, that may lead to one day a business. That may lead one day to a ministry. That may lead to a church. But we can't wait until something happens. And then when that happens, then I'll be generous. It starts now. It starts with what you have in your hand. It starts with seeds. And it may not seem like a big seed to you, but put it in God's hands and He can multiply it. He multiplies it in several different ways. He multiplies it to the person you're giving it to. He makes it just have so much more impact than it should. But then He takes it, and then He multiplies the seed back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I want to share about someone that lived this in my life, and someone that you've heard about before, Roy Trankenshew. Do we have our picture of Roy? Who's that guy on the left there? That's myself. That's Roy Trankenshew. That's my brother Pat, back in our thinner days. I met Roy, and we were visiting Roy up in Illinois when this picture was taken. I met Roy at Oral Roberts University back in 1983. I was going on a missions trip to San Diego with Campus Crusade for Christ. And there's going to be about 30 college students from all over the United States. We're going to be on this project. And I just happened to have another guy from Minnesota in my area that was going to the San Diego. And he, thank God, had a ride, had a car, a vehicle that could take us to California. And he had to go down to Texas on the way. It's the wrong way to go, but he had to go down to Texas beforehand and visit somebody, and then we were going to drive out to California. So it just so happened that there was a conference going on at Oral Roberts University at the same time. So we were going to drive, on our way to California, we were going to drive down to Texas. He was going to drop me off at ORU, Then I was going to meet him back in Texas, and then we would go to California for the project. And so that all happens. Everything goes smoothly, besides a couple almost accidents. But other than that, I get to ORU, and I'm able to stay in the dorm. They've got a room arranged for me. And I go into my room, and I've got my stuff with me. And guess who's there? Roy Trankenshue. And Roy is this older guy, and he is just a silly guy. Again, full of joy, full of life, but a little kind of weird. And Roy and I, you know, and you see the picture, I mean, we're just kind of different. And but we struck it off that weekend while we were together. First of all, Roy took me on this amazing tour over at ORU. He should have been a tour guide. He knew everything about that campus, everything about Oral Roberts. He was a partner with Oral Roberts. He gave to the university. He was just so excited about what this university was doing. He was just inspiring me to go there and was encouraging me that I should go there as a student. And he made this deal with me, and he said, if you go to ORU, I'll go to ORU. So we kind of made this deal. And so we just hung out together. We just had a great time going to the conference and all the things that happened. But then something else amazing happened. He took me to the ORU bookstore. And I'm just, you know, walking in there looking. And I don't have much money. I don't have much. But I'm just looking around. And then I'm really fascinated by books, and I'm looking at books. And he takes me over to this table, and he starts pointing out these different authors and says, you read this book, and have you read that? And I said, no, I hadn't read any of these books. I didn't know any of the authors. John Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle. And then he showed me two books that I needed to get that he, in fact, bought for me. One was by a man named Kenneth Hagin. Never heard of the guy. Never heard of him. Never, first time, gives me that book. And then he bought me another book called Jesus the Healer by E.W. Kenyon. Never heard of E.W. Kenyon. And so we parted ways. I had those two books. I read Jesus the Healer on the way to California. And that book changed my life. And I started reading E.W. Kenyon. I started reading Brother Hagin, all these different things. Isn't that amazing? I meet this guy that I don't know. He encourages me to go to ORU, encourages me to follow God, encourages me to follow my dream. Then he blesses me with some books that have, to this day, changed my life. But the story doesn't end there. I go to California, have an amazing project there, and we win 10,000 people and just amazing ministry. And I go back up to Minnesota, and I go back to St. Cloud State and continue in school there. But in my heart, God started to deal with me about going to ORU. And through a series of events, supernatural events, in the fall of 1984, I show up back at ORU. And guess who my roommate is? Roy Trankenshue. He kept his word. And I had just come back from the project, I mean, from Panama, the country of Panama, on another mission trip. I don't have money for ORU. I have just enough money for a plane ticket to get to ORU. I'm not recommending this to kids. Don't do this. Don't try this. So when I go to the first day of, I'm rooming with Roy. Roy's going with me everywhere, of course. And I'm having to go sign up for my classes. But how many know that colleges need money? Did you know that? And so I'm going up, I'm in the line to register for my classes, and I'm getting closer and closer to the table. Roy's with me. I'm really worrying. I'm getting nervous. I mean, I'm believing God here, but I'm telling you, it's coming down to the wire. I don't have the money to get in, and I'm just a few people away. And what am I going to do if I don't get in? How is this going to work out? I am just all, and Roy is just making, he's just a goofball. He's just making jokes. He's just entertaining me. Just laughing. He's just cutting up. And here I am. I'm having this serious moment here. I was coming down to the wire, and I'm getting closer to the table. Closer to the table. You know, and I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. And finally, I get up to the table, and I start talking to the people about the classes. And then I say these words, "I don't have this money that you need." Roy kind of grabs me, pulls me over to the side and says, what's going on? Where's that face? It's just this big, goofy face looking at me. What's going on, Matt? What's going on? And I said, "Roy, I'm just believing God here. I don't have the money to get in. I'm just trusting God here." And that's when Roy says this famous line, "Oh, I happen to have an extra $2,000. I want to give this to you." He pulls his checkbook out and writes "or are you" a check for $2,000. In 1984 money. What's that, Neil, in today's dollars? So Roy and I roomed together. The strange thing is, Roy ended up having his gallbladder taken out that first semester. He left halfway through the first semester. He was only there for a month and a half. And I think about, I mean, Susie asked me, she said, "Is Roy an angel?" Well, if Roy is an angel, he's one of the strangest angels, because when Pat and I went to Peoria to visit Roy, we went to the movie theater. It was cold. Roy was wearing this big parka. During the middle of the movie, he unzips his jacket and pulls out a chicken leg. That jacket was stuffed with food. Man, we were living like kings. So maybe he was an angel. I don't know. You know what his job was? He was a tombstone salesman. I have a picture of me, I gotta find it, of Pat and I laying down under this tombstone at his shop. And you know, I think I'd probably buy a tombstone from someone like Roy. But I was just thinking about this guy, this goofball, this maybe, you know, in people's don't know him, or he's insignificant, but he had a major impact on my life. And you think about that and about meeting Susie and all the things that God has done. And I hope that everybody here has got someone like Roy, or has had someone like Roy in your life. But he was a blessing. He was blessed to be blessed. I mean, he wasn't just multimillionaire, but he was just generous. Used what he had. He used encouragement, shared the gospel, prayed with people, pointed them to Jesus, bought people books. And then when the time came with his finances, he was the same way that he had already been. See, God gets resources into the hands of someone like that. I want this to be a church of Roy Trinkenshoes. Some would say we already are. But to have that spirit, that heart, to be a blessing. You know, so what's today? January 3rd. Again, we've got a big year ahead of us. I've got great expectation about this year. I've got no theme or anything like that, but great expectation, a lot of clarity about where we're going. But in the midst of all these great things, I don't want to forget this. That God put me here and blessed me to be a blessing. Paul in Philippians 1 was talking about whether he should stay or go. Remember that? You know, and he's talking about heaven, how it's great gain. But his reason for staying was it would be more needful for you, for me to stay. I mean, what amazing thinking there. That this life and this world, what it's really all about is blessed to be a blessing. So I want to encourage you to start today. And especially tomorrow when you wake up and be thinking today, how can I be a blessing? And I know, I mean, in some environments, the military, I mean, that's just not an easy environment. But even there, schools, maybe in some of our families. But be praying about it. What can I do to be a blessing? What can I do to give? And I'm not. It's not all about finances. But I believe there's going to be some amazing things happen in 2016 financially. I believe you're going to be able to give this year like you wanted to give. And I believe for each one of us, to give the most we've ever given, to give the biggest offering, doesn't have to be Good News Church, that we've ever done. And same for the church. I mean, I think the most in our history is maybe we've given like 65,000. It's probably the most we've done in a year, maybe. Well, let's outdo that. I've got a dream here of Good News Church to be a distribution center, and I'm confessing we're giving millions to the gospel. Those are big numbers, but I start with what I got. How can we be a greater blessing? How can we be a greater blessing to the church in India? How can we be a greater blessing to Good News Aurora? How can we be a bigger blessing to the ministries we're partnering with? What other ministries should we be connected with? What kind of things can we do for this city? Or maybe this neighborhood? See, when you start having that on your mind and you're thinking and you're praying about it, God's going to start showing you things. And I just confess right away, you'll be obedient. You'll not withhold. You'll step out, even if it's something scary. This was going to be an amazing year. But we got a part to play.